You're listening to audio from Gospel Light Christian Church. If you'd like to check out more of our resources or support our ministry, please visit gospellight.sg.
Just a short introduction of myself again. This is my family, my beloved wife, and my little boy, Elliot, who's going to turn 18 months. And it's there's a recurring joke that every time when I come to the pulpit, to the main service, when I come to preach, my season of life changes, my stage of life changes. The first time I came, I was a single man. The second time I came here, I was attached. Then I got engaged. Then I got married. Then I have a kid. And today I want to announce to you that I'm going to have another kid. a baby girl that's going to come in late May or early June. So do keep my family in prayer. Hopefully the next time I come, I don't think I'll be a grandparent anytime. I don't think I have time to have the third kid, but nevertheless, do keep my family in prayer. You know, today we want to look at the Bible. Today is Good Friday period, right? Where we want to look at the Bible and we want to look at the cross, where not just about the life of Jesus, we want to look through the lens of a thief that repented and came to faith because of what Jesus Christ have done on the cross. That's where he began to understand who Jesus was, who this Messiah was, and he put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ. His life was changed. But interestingly, this thief on the cross, beside Jesus, right at the start, both of the thieves were mocking Jesus. But at the end of the day, before he died, before he was hung on the cross, the thief as well, he made a decision to follow Jesus, and he made a decision to cry out for mercy and ask Jesus to come and save him. One that was mocking Jesus to one that was asking for mercy. And that's what we want to hear from today's story. Through the lens of that thief, what happened? How did he came to faith? And it's a similar story of how you and I came to faith, comes to faith as well. But before that Good Friday, before that Friday where Jesus died on the cross to save us from our sin, on that very night, the night before, Jesus was betrayed by Judas. He was beaten up by the Jewish leader, slapped on the face, spit at Jesus, accused him to be the Messiah, and he accused him, and he was just mocked by the Jewish leader. And the Jewish leader have been plotting the death of Jesus Christ for very long. They wanted to kill Jesus, but they could not do that, so they sent Jesus to the Pontius Pilate, the governing body during that period, to sentence Jesus to death. There, Jesus was at the hands of Pontius Pilate. Pontius Pilate had to set someone free. But either Barabbas, a murderer, a evildoer, a criminal, and he asked the crowd, the Jewish leader and the people there, who will you want to set free? Barabbas, the guy that you all hated, the guy that murdered people, or this innocent man? Jesus, who will you want to set free? And there, everyone cry out, crucify him, crucify him, crucify Jesus. And they just wanted the death of Jesus Christ. The Roman governor, Pontius Pilate, decided, you know what? In order to please the crowd, not to create a riot, he set Barabbas free and sent Jesus to the cross. And there, Jesus was scourged. There, Jesus was beaten. There, Jesus was being tortured by the Roman soldiers, by the cats of nine tails. His flesh was pulled out. The Bible tells us his face was more marked than any man, disfigured. And these are just imagery of a guy of the Passion of Christ that created this. And these pictures are nothing as compared to what Jesus had gone through 2,000 over years ago. There, they mock Jesus. There, Jesus was being led to the cross. There, Jesus had a crown of thorns and a purple robe around him to mock him as the king. He's not really the king. He is the one that's going to be crucified on the cross. And there, Jesus, his hands and his feet was nailed on the cross, and he hung there to die for the sins of the whole wide world. You see, this is the story of Good Friday. How Jesus came to die for your sins and my sin. And when he was hanged on the cross, there was two thieves beside him. One of the thief repented. The other thief continued to mock Jesus. You see, the Bible tells us two others who were criminals were led to be put to death, to be crucified with Jesus. These are evildoers. These are people that deserve that capital punishment, that crucifixion. These are people that probably rebel against the authority, either murderer or thief, and they just are wicked people, destroying the life of people. And there, as compared to Jesus, that innocent man in the middle of the cross, in the middle of the tree cross, there was Jesus being innocent. And they came to a place that's called Skull or Calvary, and they crucified Jesus and the criminals, one on the left and one on their right. That crucifixion took place outside of the city of the Roman Empire, outside of the city. It's a place where there will be lots of people that were going out and in to the city. And it's a place where they will draw most crowd. It is a place where Jesus and the people that will be going to be crucified there will be full of shame. This is the place to deter people from committing such crime. And there, this is the scene that I want to paint to you guys. And I want to bring you through the lens of one of the thieves that repented. What was this thief? This thief saw the contempt of the crowd. One of the thieves saw how the people mock Jesus, ridiculing Jesus, scoff at Jesus. That thief on the cross saw the ruler scoff at him. And the thief on the cross saw that not just the ruler was scoffing at the thief. He hear the word of the rulers, the Jewish leader. He save others. Let him save himself. This Jesus, whom you call Messiah, he can save others. He can heal the sick. He can raise the dead. He can cause the blind to see. He has done many, many miracles. He has saved so many people, so-called, but he can't even save himself. They were mocking Jesus. He saw that in the lens of the thief, he saw the soldiers mocking him, offering sour wine to prolong his death. If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself, you so-called king. And they mock and they laugh at Jesus. And there was an inscription over him: this is the king of the Jews, trying to mock Jesus. And there, the passerby that were passing through the main gates of Jerusalem, of the city then, And they saw Jesus and the thief, and they were just mocking him, derailing him, wagging their heads and saying, "These people, this Jesus, whom in the past he says, you will destroy the temple and rebuild in 3 days, save yourself, come down from the cross." And they were mocking Jesus. And not just the crowd. The very thief that were hung on the cross together with Jesus, both of them, the Bible tells us in Matthew and in Mark, they were also at the same time mocking Jesus, reviling him. And those who were crucified with him also reviled him. So you see, everyone was mocking Jesus. Have you ever wondered why? Because they have a wrong expectation of Jesus. Their kind of Messiah, the Savior, is not the kind that Jesus portrayed. For the Jewish leader, they thought that the Messiah will come and rule and reign. There's going to come and establish an earthly kingdom for them, and all the Jewish people will rule and reign with Christ. But Jesus did not come and rule and reign during then. This Jesus was a suffering king. This Jesus was beaten. They cannot accept, they cannot acknowledge that this is the Messiah because they have a wrong understanding of who the Messiah is. The passerby were just mocking because it's part of their culture. Then they do not know who Jesus is, so they join in and mock Jesus. Even the thief was mocking Jesus. I don't know about you, but do you know who the Messiah is? Do you know who Jesus is in your life? I remember before I became a Christian, I was one that was like the thief on the cross. I was once like the rulers and the soldiers and the passerby. I was mocking Jesus. I was laughing at those Christians. You know, I strongly believe before I was a Christian, I laughed at these Christians. It's like, why do these Christians have to cling on to a false hope to give them some shock feelings? Why do these Christians have to go to church every Sunday to worship this person whom they cannot even see? And they will give money and they will do a lot of things for this person whom I don't even believe exists. I was mocking, I was ridiculing, I was laughing at my Christian friends. Maybe that is you this morning. That was you maybe 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 over years ago. Maybe you were the one that was mocking Jesus because you don't understand who Jesus is. So through the lens of the thief, they cannot understand who Jesus, they don't understand who Jesus was, right? They saw the contempt of the crowd. But at the very same time, the thief saw the compassion of Jesus. He saw how Jesus responded to their mockery. He saw how Jesus chose to say certain things. He saw how Jesus treated them. He hears the words of Jesus on the cross. He saw the compassion of Jesus. And this is what he hears. He hears that Jesus replying to the people and praying to the Father, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." The very thief on the cross was mocking Jesus, and hear how Jesus responded to them, he realized that this Jesus is different. This Jesus has the power to ask the Father to forgive sin. High chance, this thief is probably a Jew, and as a Jew, they understood that no one can forgive sin except God himself. And he began to comprehend, who is this Jesus that asking the Father to forgive them for their sins, for their wrongdoings? The Roman soldier, the Jewish leader that plotted against Jesus, that beat, scorned, ridiculed, slapped, spat on, do all kinds of evil things to Jesus. And Jesus said this, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." That's where, in the lens of the thief, he began to comprehend slightly more who this so-called Messiah is. He began to comprehend the love of Jesus Christ to those who wronged him. He began to realize that this Jesus has a certain authority that no one ever had. He began to realize that this Messiah, whom they have been, for the Jewish people, they have been looking forward to this Messiah, and maybe this Jesus is the Messiah that they all have been looking forward to. He saw the compassion of Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but if you are mocked, if you are ridiculed, if you are being misunderstood by your bosses, by your friends, by your loved ones, and if you are being, not just in words, being misunderstood, you are beaten, and what will you do? Most of the time, how we will respond to people that wrong us is we will fight back. We will do whatever we can to get back to them. But that's not the response of Jesus. Jesus chose to ask the Father to forgive them. There at the cross, the thief began to comprehend who this Jesus is. Then we see the conversion of this thief. That's where we see that everything from the thief was mocking Jesus to one that began to understand who this Jesus is. Then that's where he has this conversion. That's where he cried out for mercy from one that mocked to one that asked Jesus for mercy. One of the thief who was on the cross read and Jesus, "Aren't you the Christ, the chosen one? Aren't you the one that is going to come and save us? Save yourself and us." That thief, the other thief, was so concerned about here and now. But the other thief, that thief that repented, rebuked this other thief. What changed? Remember, these two thieves were mocking Jesus at the start. And now, at the end, near the end, this thief has a change of heart. This thief has a change of perspective. This thief have a change of an understanding of who Jesus is. And he began to rebuke that very guy beside Jesus. He said, "Do you not fear God since you are under the same condemnation? And indeed, we justly, we are receiving the due rewards of our deed. We deserve it because we are evildoers. But this man have done nothing wrong. And we want to look at how this thief came to faith, how this thief come to ask Jesus for mercy. First, this thief realized something. This thief realized that he was a sinner, and this sinner that he's going to face some form of condemnation. He rebuked the thief, says, "Do you not fear God since you are under the same condemnation?" In a very loose way, he's saying to the other thief, "Do you not fear God whom you are not just going to die being crucified? You're going to face God one day. After you die, you're going to face God. Don't you fear God? Don't you fear what he can do to your soul?" That repentant thief, realized that they are not just going to be sentenced to death by crucifixion. This thief understood something deeper, where their souls will be going after they die. "Do you not fear God since you're under the same condemnation?" In a paraphrase way, look, the other thief, we are getting exactly what we deserve. Don't you have a fear of what's going to happen to you when we face God's judgment when we die? Don't you realize that? There he realized that he was a sinner, and there he realized that the sin that he has ever committed ever in his life, all the sins that he has ever committed in his life, is going to have a consequence. There he realized that he was a sinner. And not just he realized that he was a sinner, he recognized something. He recognized that this Jesus is innocent. He recognized that this Jesus have done nothing wrong. He recognized that Jesus was perfect, was sinless. All the accusation that people have done to him is all fake news. There he realized that Jesus was innocent. And there he realized that Jesus was not just innocent. Jesus probably, high chance, is the coming Messiah that's going to come and take the sins of the world. So you see, for the Jewish people, they have been taught about through the Passover lamb, through all the laws in the Bible, all the festival in the Bible, and if you have been Pastor Jason's sermon in the last few weeks through the book of Leviticus, you will realize that the Jewish people have to go through a lot of rituals and duties festival to for us to remember that these are just the foreshadow of Christ, the foreshadow of the Messiah that is going to come. And there on that cross, this thief realized that probably this Jesus that was hung beside him is that Messiah that's going to come and take the sins of the world. There he realized that this Jesus is the Messiah. There he realized that this Jesus is able to forgive sin and he's the one that's going to take the sins of the entire world. There he realized that Jesus was not just an innocent man, the perfect sinless man. There he realized that this Jesus is the Savior of the world. Then you see that this thief repents. He changed of his mind, right? One that mocked Jesus at the start have a change of mind. What's repentant? Repentant means a change of mind. This thief have a change of mind. He realized that I was a sinner. He realized that my sin has to be dealt with. And he realized this Jesus was that Messiah that all along the people were waiting for. And he turned away from his own personal belief and he turned to Jesus for salvation. There he repents. And he cried out to Jesus, "Jesus, remember me. I know that now you are the Messiah, you are the Savior. Remember me when you come into your kingdom." You know, for the Jewish people, they all have been taught since young that there will come a Messiah that's going to come and rule and reign with them. That this Messiah is going to come and establish an earthly kingdom on earth with God's people, and they will rule and reign with him. And there he realized that this is the Messiah. And not just that, he asked Jesus, "Jesus, when you come into your kingdom, can you remember me? Can you accept me into your kingdom when you come and establish in the near future?" There he realized that this Jesus is the Messiah. And you know what he did? Let me ask you this question. What he did was amazing, because what he did was a pure understanding of who Jesus was and a plea out of the mercy and the grace and the compassion of God. And he cried out, "Please remember me." Remember the thief? He was an evildoer. He sinned the best that he knows how. He lived his life for himself and not for others and not for God's kingdom. And he do whatever he wants in his life. And now, by the way, he deserved to be hanged on the cross, right? Because of his evil deeds. But now, he realized, even though he's a sinful man, he cried for mercy. "God, have mercy on me." Is it anything that he has done that he deserved this to ask Jesus to remember him when he comes to his kingdom? No, it's not because of whether he's a good person, not because he has done something good in his life or he's a proper person. No, he was a sinner. And he asked Jesus for mercy. There he repented. And this is the most beautiful part. Jesus replied him, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." In other words, hey, you are looking for that future establishment of the earthly kingdom. Now I tell you, you don't need to wait for the future. Today, you will be with me. You will be with me in heaven. You will have salvation. You will be rescued. And that's what Jesus said. Isn't that amazing? And how we see the conversion of this thief, one that was mocking to one that asked Jesus for mercy, and how Jesus accepted him and rescued him and gave him salvation. That is the story of the thief. That's the story of how God was gracious towards this thief and how this thief came to faith. Maybe you ask, so what does it have to do with us today? This is the story of the thief, but let me tell you something. This is the story of many of us. For Christians here, this is our story, isn't it? We realize that we don't deserve any of God's mercy and grace. But we understood that God is a God of grace. God is a God of mercy. He died on the cross for us. And not because we are good, but because He is good. And we put our faith in Jesus Christ. And He rescued us. As simple as that. But I want to share with the people here that may be hearing the gospel for the first time. As the thief realized that he was a sinner, you today need to realize that you are a sinner. And not just that you are a sinner, the sins that you've ever committed in your life, in the past, even this morning, your sins have to be dealt with. The Bible tells us, for the wages of sin is death. When you sin, there is a payment, there is a wages, and this wages of sin, the Bible tells us, is death. This is not the first death that you are thinking about, because all of us here, we will have to die one day. Just like the thief on the cross, when they are hung on the cross, they will be crucified. They will die. But that thief understood that there is more than life beyond what we have on earth. He realized that he has to answer to God for his soul, for the things that he has ever done. This death is not referring to the death that we all face. This death is referring to the second death, where your soul is going to go, where your soul is going to go when you die. It's either heaven or eternal lake of punishment, hell. Because the Bible tells us in Revelation, "But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for the murderers, the sexually immoral, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars, their portions will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur," which is the second death. This is the part where when you die, where your souls will go is either heaven or hell that's going to be punished by fire and brimstone. That's where you are going to be separated from God for all eternity. This is a serious matter, because the thief understood that he was in deep trouble because of his sin. You need to realize that we are all sinners, and that sins that you ever committed need to be paid. Either you pay your sin in hell, or either you pay your sin by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, many years ago, this is me, look like Elliot, but this is really me. I don't really have a very good childhood. And I don't grow up in church. by the way. I grew up in a Buddhist, Taoist family, and I have no concept that I am a sinner. I have no concept that I need to be saved. I live my life the way that I want. I don't care. That's why I laugh at Christians, right? All these stupid Christians. Okay, I mean, during that time, why do they need to go to church? Why do they need to go to ask Jesus to save them? I don't need saving. I don't care. But it was one of the nights where I was attending a church. I was invited by my friend to a barbecue event. It's a scam. They come ask me to go barbecue, but they come and share the gospel to me. There, I began to, first time I hear the name of Jesus, there I realized that this Jesus loves me. This Jesus tells me that I'm a sinner. And I want to find out more about this Christianity. So I attended the church for another 3 months, pretending to be a Christian, but actually I am not. Deep in my heart, I know that I wasn't a Christian. But it was one night during a youth camp sermon. The preacher was talking about the severity of my sin and the consequence of my sin. The preacher talks about for the wages of sin is death. The preacher talks about I am a sinner and I need a savior. That was where I began to realize that how sinful I was and how I need to be saved from my wickedness. You know, I don't come from a well-to-do background, broken family. My parents, my dad passed away when I was very, very young. My mom passed away when I was 13 years old. And my mom got remarried. And at the age of, I was with my stepfather until my mom passed away when I was 13. And my stepfather kicked me out of the house when I was 15, 16 years old, when I was secondary school or early poly days. I don't really have good upbringing. No one taught me how to live my life. I live the life that I want. I will do whatever I want when I gamble. And when I lose, I will steal money. I will steal my step-parents' money. I will do all kinds of stupid stuff. I don't want to name all these things. But I realized that I was a sinner and I need to be saved. You see, I mentioned this, right? Either your sins is being paid in hell forever and ever, or either your sins can be paid by the blood of Jesus Christ, who hung on the cross 2,000 over years ago to die for your sins and my sin. There, at the age of 15, 16, I realized that I was a sinner. I realized that I need to be saved. Unless you see yourself standing there with the shrinking crowd, full of hostility and hatred for the holy and innocent Lamb of God, you don't really understand the nature and the depth of your sin and the necessity of the cross. You don't, because you will continue to live your life the way you want. Just like the other thief that did not repent, because he didn't understand the severity of the sin they've ever committed. And he don't understand that the sin has consequence. So, number one, please realize that we are all sinners and in need of a savior. Secondly, just like the thief on the cross, he recognized that Jesus was the innocent man and Jesus was that perfect God, that Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He recognized that he need to go to the Savior. He recognized that he need to be saved. You know, 2 weeks ago, I was in a severe pain. Severe to the point that I will rate the pain 8 out of 10. It was on a Wednesday night, just 2 weeks ago. And I was doing my discipleship group, and I was telling my disciples, and I'm sorry, I cannot continue this. I'm having a migraine, I'm having a headache, severe headache. My toothache is aching. They call all the dentists, then I went to the dentist, nearby dentist, and do an x-ray, and this is my x-ray. I thought that, wow, my teeth quite crooked, and so a bit weird. So nevertheless, the dentist asked me to go to see the dentist showed me the x-ray. And the dentist asked me this question, when was the last time you went for a dental? And I say, I don't know. Like, I remember the last time I went to the dental was when I was primary 6. That's like 24 years ago. Please, don't be like me. The reason why I was going through such pain is because I have not been going to a dental for checkups for many, many, many years. Because I don't really know, right? I was ignorant, really, because of my upbringing. I was ignorant. I didn't even know that there's such practice of going to the dentist. When my wife went to the dentist for some cleaning and root canal. I laughed at him. I said, so stupid. See, you're so weak, you know, kind of thing. Because I was really ignorant. And also because of the cost of dental during my upbringing. So I didn't really go. I was in severe pain. And that pain, and I have to deal with it, right? The doctor, the dentist told me, hey, you know what? You have a wisdom tooth that need to be extracted because that wisdom tooth is very near your nerve. That's why you're causing you to have such pain. And not just your wisdom tooth decay, I found another 5 decays in your mouth. You need to deal with it. What's the point of my stupid story? The point is this. You see, that decay of teeth is like sin. If you don't deal with it, it's going to come and bite you back. There is consequence. If I don't go to the dentist and do my clean my teeth regularly, there will be consequence. I realized that point. The doctor asked me, do you want to be treated? Do you want to do all the procedure for me to take out the wisdom tooth and feel all the decay and stuff? And I have to make a decision then, right? And I have to do something about it. But unless you realize that there is a decay, I won't need to go to a doctor. In a similar way, unless you realize that you are a sinner, you don't need to go to the Savior. My point is that you need to know that you're a sinner and you need to go to the doctor who is able to save you from your sin. You see, the Bible tells us God loves you and He died for your sins. Your sins has to be dealt with. How? By Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us, but God demonstrated His love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for your sins and my sin. And on that cross, He bore our sins on the cross. He paid the price that we supposed to pay. We were supposed to pay for our sins. But Jesus Christ came to pay for your sins and my sins. He took the full wrath of God and poured upon His own body. There we can, so that we can be reconciled. There, so that we can have life, so that we can be saved from sin. It was not the nail that held Jesus to that wretched cross. It was this unqualified resolution out of love for His Father, God the Father, to do the Father's will. And it was out of His love for you and for me. You need to recognize that you have a problem. You need to recognize that Jesus is the one that can solve your sin problem because He loves you. And He loves you by sending His Son Jesus to die on the cross for you and for me. And the thief also recognized something. The thief recognized that it is not his own good works. Similarly, I want you guys to recognize that it is not because you are someone who is rich and you deserve to go to heaven to be with Jesus. It's not because you have been in church for many, many years because your parents are Christians or pastors or elders or deacons. There I am safe and secure. No, it's not because of your status. It's not because of your good works. The Bible tells us, for by grace you have been saved through faith. Just like how the thief had faith in the Messiah and he was saved, today you need to have faith in Jesus. And you need to understand that this is not your own good works. It is a gift of God, not of a result of works, lest any man should boast. It's not your good works, my friend. It's really out of the mercy and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ that you can be saved. What a mercy it is that man's sin are forgiven by God. All this is of grace. We don't deserve. I don't deserve. That thief don't deserve salvation. But it was because of really the grace of God, he received all. He got everything. He got salvation. He got Christ. He's going to be with Jesus in heaven. And he's going to spend all eternity to know God. That's beautiful, isn't it? The voice of sin is loud, but the voice of forgiveness is louder. So come to Jesus. Recognize that Jesus is the Messiah, that He's going to come in. He can save you from your sin if you choose to. So not just that, we saw the thief repented, isn't it? And today you need to repent. You need to repent of your sin and turn to Jesus for salvation. Jesus answered them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick, spiritually sick, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Today, God is calling. If you are not yet a Christian this morning, and maybe you are looking for the truth, and you hear your Christian friends talk about this Jesus, you were once mocking, but now you have an appetite. God is working in your heart, and you know that somehow in your life, everything is pointing towards this Jesus, the Messiah, and you want to know more. God tells you, don't just know Him, come to Him, repent of your sin, turn from your wicked ways, and turn to Jesus for salvation. And the Bible tells us it is a gift. You know, when I went to the dentist, right, the doctor asked me this question, so what are you going to do? Now you know that you have a dental problem, you know that I can help you, so what are you going to do? You guess what I did? I said, I don't need that, it's okay. Of course not, I was in pain. I said, please help me. Help me to save my teeth so that I can preach and talk more in the near future, so that I can eat good food. And I have to repent. I have to turn from what I used to think of dentist being expensive and it's for the weak and kind of thing. I have to change my mind and say, hey, I need help. And I turn away and I turn to the dentist for help. And I think in a similar way, you need to turn to Jesus. And by the way, the dentist is very kind, right? He don't force me, hey, your teeth is super crooked and super, you need, and I'm going to fix you and going to drug you and then you're going to collapse and then I'm going to do every surgery. No, the dentist did not force me. He gave me a choice. And today, I think Jesus wants to give you a choice. God wouldn't force you to become a Christian, to be converted. God gave you a choice. That's why the Bible tells us it is a free gift of God. It is free, paid by Jesus Christ on the cross. But it is free for you to receive. And you have to make a choice, right? Where someone gives you a gift, either you can say, no, thank you, and reject the gift, or you can say, and humbly says, I want to receive. I want this gift. And this gift, the Bible tells us, is eternal life in Jesus Christ, our Lord, all paid on the cross for you and for me. I have received that gift 20 over years ago. And many of you here, I believe that you have received that gift many years ago. But if you have not, what are you waiting for? Realize that you are a sinner and in need of a Savior. Recognize that Jesus is the one that can save you from your sin. No other person can save you. He was the perfect man that saved. He's the perfect man. And as a perfect man and perfect man, God-man, only He has the power to forgive sin. And He paid that price on the cross by His own body. Without the remission of, without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. Jesus went on the cross to die for you and for me. You have to make a choice, right? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, any one of us who believes in Him, turn from your wicked way and turn to Jesus for salvation. The Bible tells us, you shall not perish but have everlasting life. That is the promise. And that's what that thief did 2,000 over years ago. And that's something that you can do this morning as well. Realize that you're a sinner and in need of a Savior. Recognize that Jesus is the one that can save. And turn to Him. Repent. And turn to Him for salvation. What will be your response this morning? Will you be one that will continue to mock, just like the crowd, just like the Jewish leader, just like the Roman soldier, the passerby, and the other thief? What will be your response? Will you still continue in your disbelief? Will you still continue to think that He's just a joke, He's a liar? Let me tell you something. He is the Lord of the whole universe. He wants to be your God, and He wants to have a relationship with you. Whoever who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Will you turn back from your sin and turn to Jesus for salvation? Let us bow with a word of prayer. prayer. Today we look at the story of that thief on the cross through his lens. And we realize that he was someone that was mocking to one that was asking God for mercy. How about you? Maybe some of you think that, hey, I know that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, is the Savior, is the God of the whole universe. But I will wait. I will wait until before I die. Just like the thief, right? Before he died, I will come to Jesus Christ. At my deathbed, I will believe in Jesus Christ. But what if it's too late? What if something happened to you along the way when you go home? What if some tragedy happened to you tomorrow? Don't wait until the deathbed. Today, the Bible says, today is the day of salvation. Today, if the Spirit of God is working in your heart and knocking in your door and asks you to turn back, repent, believe, why don't you do it today? I want to pray for you. I want to pray for not just the unchurched people here, but I want to pray for even the church people. And if you are here in church for the longest of time, and the story of salvation, and you have lost the joy of your salvation, you have lost that motivation to serve Him and to live for Him, remember the cross, why Jesus came to die for you and for me, so that you can have life, so that you can have life more abundantly. But for the non-believers in our midst, God wants to have a relationship with you, and sin separates you from the love of God. Sin separate you from God, and in order to be reconciled, you need to come to Jesus. Believe in Him, turn from your wicked ways, and repent, and turn to Jesus for salvation. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God, we thank You for this time. Thank You for Your word. Thank You for allowing us to see through the lens of that thief how he came to faith. And today we remember how we came to faith and remember those that have not come to faith. God, will You work in a way that no one can? God, You love us. You died on the cross for us. It's really out of Your love and mercy that You save us. So we commit every soul in this room unto Your hands, that You work and You rule and You reign. We thank You. We love You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.